Drum and the flute, praise him with your heart. Hallelujah,
Adonai.
Hallelujah,
Adonai.
Hallelujah,
Adonai. Come and praise the Lord.
Hallelujah,
Adonai.
Hallelujah,
Adonai.
Hallelujah,
Adonai. Come and praise the Lord.
Praise him with the cymbals.
Praise him
with the dance,
praise him
with the shofar,
praise him
with your hands,
praise him
with the timbrel,
praise him
with the harp,
praise him
with the drum and the flute,
praise him
with your heart.
Hallelujah, Adonai.
Hallelujah,
Adonai.
Hallelujah,
Adonai. Come and praise the Lord.
Hallelujah,
Adonai.
Hallelujah,
Adonai.
Hallelujah,
Adonai. Come and praise the Lord.
And let everything that has breath come and praise the Lord. Shofar,
praise him
with your hand,
praise him
with the timbrel,
praise him
with the harp,
praise him
with the drum and the flute,
and praise him
with your heart.
Hallelujah, Adonai.
Hallelujah,
Adonai. Hallelujah,
Adonai.
Come and praise the Lord.
Adonai, Okay, welcome. Shabbat Shalom. My name is Anthony, and this is Diane. Rabbi Joseph and Rabbi Sandon are in Florida, and I think they're traveling back today because we've got Rosh Hashanah Yom Tuwa will be observed tomorrow here. So they're coming back today. He's been down there with seeing a doctor, so he's out today, and we're filling in for him. We got a guest speaker, Pastor David Durham from over. I believe you said you lived in Newland. He's from Newland, North Carolina, so he will be bringing the message very shortly. Just to let you know, we will be taking up an offering for him at the end of the service, so keep that in mind this morning. So we will get started this morning. We welcome everyone. Welcome to people that are live streaming. So we just encourage you to enter in, and we'll give you some of the announcements about the fall feast here just in a few moments. So we'll get started this morning with Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shabbat Shalom. Yom Zei Israel. Yom Zei Israel. Yom Zei Israel. Or Simcha. Yom Zei Israel, or Simchah, Ora Mitzvah, Shabbat Mitzvah. Yom Zei Israel, or Simchah, Shabbat Mitzvah, Shabbat Mitzvah.
Hallelujah.
This day for Israel. This day for Israel. This day for Israel, filled with mighty joy. This day for Israel, filled with mighty joy. Filled with mighty joy. Sabbath of his rest. This day for Israel, filled with mighty joy. Sabbath of his rest. Sabbath of his rest.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Okay, the blessings of the Messiah. Brukatad and I, Elohein, you Melech, Ha'olam, Asher, Netanlai, Adek, Ha'Yeshua, Yimashuk, Yeshua, Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's given us the way of salvation in the Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Holiness. shall love the house where you dwell, and the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend a knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation. Vishamru v'nei Israel, let ha-shabbat lasso and ha-shabbat le-do tambourine do alam. Vishamru v'nei Israel, let ha-shabbat lasso and ha-shabbat le-do tambourine do alam. B'nai, oh, B'nai, B'nai Israel, B'nai Israel, Oh, Tilolam, Vishamru, B'nai Israel, Let HaShabbat, Lasodet HaShabbat, Ledo Tambourine Dolam. Ki kesher amin, asa Adonai, shemayim viharet. Vishamru, b'nei Yisrael, let ha-shabbat, la-sodet ha-shabbat, le-do tambourine do-lam. Yo-vayam ha-shavid, ha-shabbat, v'ni-shabbat, shabbat.
You have to help me on it.
I'm Vishamru, v'nei Yisrael, let ha-shabbat, la-sodet ha-shabbat, le-do tambourine do-lam. I lost my place. The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout third generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
You'll find the Vishamru, B'nai Israel, in Exodus 31, 16 through 17, in Isaiah 66, 23.
There'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them. Prosper them that love her. And for the sake of Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace no more. For God will bless them that love her. And for the sake of beyond our God, we pray for Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem. And Pastor Dave is going to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Father, we just come before you, Lord. We ask, God, that you would be with Israel, be with her people, God. Lord, we pray, God, Lord, every day, Lord, we see these attacks, we see these murders, God, these senseless things, God, that these people are doing to your people. And God, we pray for protection. God, we pray, God, Lord, that you would be with those, God, Lord. God, be in this election, Lord, God. We pray, God, that your will, not our will, but your will be done, God, Lord. Make your people ready, God, Lord, to return home, to return to Israel, God. Lord, be in the streets of Jerusalem, God. Watch over every man, boy, woman, child, God. And we pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, the servant of the Lord. And now the Lord says, He who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
He knew, maker of all things, ruling all the works of your hand. You loved us so, you sent your Son to take our sin and shame. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Avinu, Malkeinu, maker of all things, ruling all the works of your hand. You loved us so, you sent your Son to take our sin and shame. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name.
Please all rise for the Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod, Malhuto Leoam Vaed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates. Amen.
Isaac, you want to get the Torah out, or are you tied up back there? Okay, we will take the Minka Mocha. Is that on a recording? I hope so.
Minka Mocha, let our to heal, oh, say, Fay, oh, say, Fay, who
The answer to that ancient question, who is like the Enkamoka Balim Adonai, Balim Kamasetka, Malkuka, Mamiko, Olamin, Umi Sharpaka, Bador, Dor Vador, Adonai Melech, Adonai Melech, Adonai Lot Leoam Vaed, Adonai Os Leomo in retain, Adonai Varech et the Mova Shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people, the Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen.
Carol.
Oh,
Okay.
Vaheven so aron vayamim Moshe kunra Adonai viavutsu oveka viyanutsu sampaneka mipaneka ki mitzio teitzei Torah ki mitzio teitzei Torah udavar Adonai miyerushalayim Baruch Shinatan Torah Torah Baruch Shinatan Torah Torah Le'amo Israel Pik du Shato. And when the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, in the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Okay, we're going to go into the Torah portion this morning. Yamud Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch Adonai Hamvera.
Baruch Adonai Hamvera'ed.
Baruch Adonai Hamvera'ed Le'olam Va'ed. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam. Asher Barakanu Miko Haramin Ve'Natan Lanu Et Torato. Baruch Atah Adonai Notain Ma Torah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Bless is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen. And you can be seated. Okay, this morning's drash, the last one before Yom Teruah, or Rosh Hashanah, or the Festival of Trumpets, however you want to describe it. It's called Netzavim, which means standing, and it's from Deuteronomy chapter 29 through chapter 30, verse 20, and the half Torah is Isaiah 61, 10 through 63, 9. This is the Shabbat that is observed on the Shabbat prior to Yom Teruah, and on this day is actually the day that Moses was taken away, or he passed, he died. And he talks today, twice talking about his standing. The Israelites are standing before Moses today, and he's telling them about the things that are going to come to pass. And he's telling them about the exile and the desolation of the Holy Land. They haven't passed into the Holy Land yet, but he's telling them once they go to the Holy Land, they will be placed in exile and will be in desolation because they will abandon God's instructions. So they're standing there on this day. He explains to them the covenant that is binding even to the unborn that's there on that day, which extends on down. He talks to them about the covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he's telling them that God still keeps his covenants. Moses, again, is taking the opportunity to explain to them the dangers of idolatry which exists today. He says, you know right from wrong. Moses tells Israel further that if they will return to God, he will return to them, and they seek him. That's what Yom Kippur is about. It's about teshuva, which is repentance. And when you do teshuva, it means that you're changing your behavior. So once we observe Yom Teruah, we maintain 10 days of teshuva, which is the 10 days of repentance, up to the day of Yom Kippur. You see, we have, as they did on that day, we stand today before God, and we have the opportunity to choose life or death. It's still there today as it was then. And will we choose life, or are we going to choose death? You see, heaven and hell are both very real. And what's unusual about them, they're both eternal. A lot of people think, well, they're going to die and that's the end of it, but they're going to spend eternity somewhere. They're going to have a body that will live in hell forever. It's never going to die. There's never going to be any death
or ceasing of the terror and pain that's in hell. I was in service with a guy who worked for Union Carbide. He was telling me years ago that where he was working, they took the match and they studied the flame that a match creates. And he was telling me that the center of the flame you would think would be light, because if you're in a dark room and you strike a match and it lights up the room, you have light. But he said in their studies, the center of the flame is total darkness. So that is just a picture of hell. It's total darkness where the fire and death never consume you. You're there for all eternity. And on this particular day, as we're moving tomorrow to Rosh Hashanah, this is the season that we can see the beauty and the harmony of God's word all come together with the Hebrew calendar. All of the moeds that are appointed by God, they're a holy kadosh. They're an appointed time, just like if you go to the doctor and you have an appointment on such and such a day, such and such a time. So are God's appointed times. They're on a particular month and a particular day. And what is so wonderful about them, they never change from year to year. It's still Tishrei 1 is Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't matter the year or anything, it's always on the first day of Tishrei. And this year, the year will be, 5780. So we're getting up there. That's the number of years from the Garden of Eden, or from Adam, I'm sorry. You see, each parasha that we've studied is a message from God of encouragement and guidance. And all of those moeds that are within these parashas are all very clear and very evident about what is to take place. You see, for the past year, the Torah has been our shepherd, because that's Yeshua, and he is the Torah, and he's been guiding us for the whole past year and using God's love to demonstrate to us and encourage us in the things of God. You see, the Torah is not impossible to follow. A lot of people say, well, I can't do it. Well, God knows that, because we're natural-born sinners. We can't do everything right. We're not perfect. We fail. Everyone fails at some point. And most of us, if you're like me, you probably stumble every day on something. So it's not impossible to honor God's word. There's still repentance. You don't have to wait until Rosh Hashanah to start praying about the things you've done wrong. You have opportunity the whole year, because the sacrifice has been made. The parakeet, the veil, has been ripped apart. So you have direct access to God. You don't have to go ask someone to pray on your behalf. You don't have to do like they do in Israel, pay someone to go to the Kotel and pray for you and put a prayer request in the wall there. You can do it on your own. That's the wonderful thing about the Yeshua and his passing as the sacrifice. He removed the sacrifice of every day, even though that's coming back in the end times. But he was the perfect sacrifice that was once for all, and the parakeet was removed. You see, every day that you wake up and go to work or whatever you do, you start each day with choices. What will you do on this day? Will you go to work? Will you go shopping? Will you go on a trip? Everyone has choices every day. And so the way that you start that choice, I hope, will be with God's word. You've heard me say it many times. Start each day with the bowl and the towel, and wash yourself clean and go out, as Yeshua taught the disciples at the Passover that he observed with them, was to wash. He washed their feet to show not that he, it showed his humbleness and the fact that we, like him, are to serve others that are in need around us. That's one of the mitzvahs in the scriptures, is to take care of people that are in need. You see, with Yom Tov, I'll just talk a little about the feast that's coming up tomorrow. It's a lot different than the normal New Year in the secular world. We will observe it with prayer and fasting and eating something that's sweet with honey to indicate to God that we're hoping the new year will be one of a sweet year and a year that we will grow closer to him. It gives us an opportunity to reflect upon the past, to correct our mistakes. It gives an opportunity to plan for the future and pray for a healthy and a sweet year. You see, Yeshua came to seek and to save the house of Israel. And in Jeremiah 14, it says, God is saying, I will turn you from your captivity, and I will gather you from among the nations. that day is rapidly approaching. You know, just another note about Rosh Hashanah. Rosh in Hebrew means head, and Shana means to change or to turn. So the new year gives us an opportunity to take to put in our head that we can change our life for the whole year. That's why it's called Rosh Hashanah. It's because it is giving us an opportunity to let our head change where we're going. And of course, when I'm saying head, I'm talking about your heart. And so it's a whole new year, a new perspective. So tomorrow night we will start the 10 days of Yamin Norim, which is the 10 days of Yah, which leads us up to Yom Kippur. Let me encourage you tomorrow night, if you can, come, and you'll get to hear, I believe, Rebbetzin Don will be here, I believe, won't she? I hope so. And she will be blowing the shofar, so you will get to hear that. And tomorrow night, the three books, according to the sages, there's actually three books. We talk a lot about the Book of Life, the Seder Yahamin, Yahkaim, and the three books that they teach are, there's a book of wickedness that's open, there's a book of righteousness that's open, and there's a book that's called the intermediate that's open. The last time the actual Book of Life was open, I believe, was in the book of Daniel, and the Book of Life was open at that time. But you have, according to traditional Judaism, you have 10 days to get your name sealed into the Book of Life, and if you don't, then you have to wait for a whole year. But it's encouraging today to know that you don't have to wait a whole year to get your name in the Book of Life and become a believer. It's just a simple prayer that you have. So today, that is the Torah portion for this morning. Shabbat Shalom.
All rise for the closing of the Torah. Vitzot HaTorah Asher Shamoshe Lifnei Bnei Israel Al-Pi Adonai V'Yad Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
Et Chaim Ni Lamosh Et Kippa
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Amen. You can be seated, and we'll be taking up the morning tithes and offerings here just in a moment. But I wanted just to mention again that that Rabbi and Rebbetzin or Bell are both in Florida, and they'll be coming back today at some point. I'm not sure what time. Do you know, Josh, what time they're coming back? It'll be sometime today, so they're flying back. So we welcome them back. They've had a couple rough days, a lot of tests, so continue to pray for them. And we'll be observing tomorrow, just a little bit about the feast. Tomorrow, of course, it'll be Rosh Hashanah, and we will start service around 6:30. And the next service we have will be Yom Kippur. That's October the 8th. That's on a Tuesday. That's at 6:30. All the services will be at 6:30. And then on Wednesday that same week, on the 9th, will be the Nila service for the Yom Kippur. And then we'll observe Sukkot on Sunday, October the 13th, and have a campfire and food that will be during that time. And then we will have the Hoshana Rabbah service will be on Sunday, October the 20th, also at 6:30. And all the services will be here on New Hampshire Avenue. So we welcome everyone to come if you can. It's a great time. If you don't know anything about the feast, it's a great time to get a teaching on them. And Rabbi will be teaching, and it will be a great time to come and just fellowship and observe the feast that we're pointing. There's three that we're supposed to appear in Jerusalem. Of course, some of us can't go all the way over there, but Passover, Shavuot, and Sukkot are the three foot pilgrimages that we're required to appear, and also to bring an offering, just to mention that. But we'll be observing those in the coming weeks here, next couple of weeks, and tomorrow night. We also have the calendars are in, and these are from Israel, and they're very pretty, very artistic. They have a lot of paintings in there, and they have all the holidays and everything. The feasts are in the calendar, so if you get one, I think they're $17.99, $18, something like that. There's a penny difference, but you can buy them if you want one. Just mark it on an envelope that you've got one, and we'll record it as materials. So this morning we're going to give you an opportunity to give. We have a colored basket up here, different colors. That's to help people that are needy in the area. That's for spare change. And then the box on top of the two little stands up there, that's for your tithes and offerings. And the other little basket is for the building fund. We still are working on the building. And I don't know if we'll ever finish, but I hope so. But we're still, if you can help us with that. And I believe we still have this challenge. It's still going on. I don't remember how far it's gone out. What is it, 25,000? And we've got some toward that. And I don't know if that ends in October. I'm not sure. I'm not sure when that ends. But we do have a $25,000 matching pledge, and we've had some money have come in for that pledge. So if you can assist with that, we certainly appreciate that. So this morning we're going to give you an opportunity to bring your tithes and offerings, and I will say a prayer, and then you can bring them up. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Shabbat today, Lord. We thank you that we will also meet again tomorrow night, Lord, to observe Yom Teruah, Lord, and observe a teaching and take in a teaching, Lord, that will be presented to us from your words, Lord. We ask that you bless the gifts this morning. Bless the giver, Lord, and may they have a great reward, Lord, a great anointing upon them, Lord, that you will give them a good measure, pressed down and shaken over, Lord, as they bring their gifts and tithes to your storehouse this morning. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. And you can bring them now if you wish. To let him
He gave all for you. Hear Him call to you who are weary. Come to me.
Thank you, Carol. Very beautiful song. I want to wait right now to let our, we have some guests here today, and I'd like for them to, this gentleman stand and tell us what his name is, if you would, introduce yourself. Okay, well, you don't look that old, so welcome back. Thanks for coming this morning. We have some ladies in the back. I believe they said they were from South Carolina. Would you all introduce yourselves, please? Okay, Peggy, welcome.
Dawn.
Welcome.
And Lisa.
Welcome. Welcome. Now, do y'all attend a Messianic a synagogue down in South Carolina? I'm sorry, it's where? Okay. Well, welcome this morning. Welcome all of you. Thanks for coming this morning. Diane's going to lead us in worship, and then we'll do the table of the Lord, and then we'll have our guest speaker get up here. So, hey, stay with us. Thank you all.
את פני אלוהים ברוך הבא לארץ ישראל לכל העמים ברוך הבא לארץ יהודים וגויים שמאלה ימינה כפיים קדימה רימו את ידיכם יהודים וגויים ברוך הבא לארץ ישראל
love and mercy so free.
עין יבוא עזרי, עזרי מעם אדוני, עושה שמיים וארץ. אל ייתן למוט רגלך, אל ינום שומריך, הלל לא ינום ולא יישן שומר ישראל.
From the living word, his light now shines. the darkness must flee. Yeshua is the light of the world. Yeshua is the light. From the living word, his light now shines, the darkness must flee. Yeshua is the light of the world.
Thank y'all. It was great worship music. Okay, we're going to go to the table of the Lord, the Shulchanet and I. If I could get Sharon and Carol, would y'all mind serving us this morning? Carolyn, I'm sorry. I said Carol, I'm sorry. Well, they're getting ready. We'll give you take a few moments. You know, when you're not supposed to partake if you got anything that's between you and God. So this morning, you can take a few moments, and if you need to pray about something, you don't have to wait until tomorrow night till we start the 10 days of Teshuvah to ask God to forgive you. But maybe this morning, if you're here and you don't know Yeshua or Jesus, just take a moment and ask him to come into your heart, because like the song said, Yeshua or Jesus is the light of the world. And I remember that group when they came here, Zemar Lavav. I didn't realize that one of their daughters, Kira, had married Peter, Rabbi Peter, that came. Her husband is his son, and I didn't know that when he was here. I didn't make a connection between the two with them. But the reason I mention that because I know they're in Haiti, and there's a lot of government turmoil in Haiti right now. I got an email from them this week, and gasoline is like $10 or $15, $20 a gallon if you can buy it. And actually, they have been sort of protected from a lot of the demonstrations and the rioting that's been going on. But the email this week said that it was actually affecting their orphanage that they have down there, and they're not able to go to school and do various things. So if you would pray for them, today, because that song just reminded me to do that. So if you'll take a moment, I'll say the blessing this morning over the emblems, and then you can come and just take a few moments as I do that. If you need to remove something between you and God, then take that opportunity. And Yeshua, he took the cup, and he said, "This cup represents my blood that is shed for the remission of sin," because the scriptures tells us that God always requires something innocent to die for sin. He always requires the innocent to die for the sin of whoever is offering that up. And Yeshua was without sin, and he is our offering today, that he became our paraclete, our go-between, that his life was laid down for our sins as he bore them. So he took the cup and he blessed it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. And he took the bread, the afikoman, and he broke it. And he said, "This represents my body, which is broken for you." Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. And on the third day, Yeshua became the bread of life. Amen. So you can come this morning as you're ready, and these ladies will serve you.
Gentile, one Messiah, one Yeshua, one in the olive tree. Jew and Gentile, one Messiah, one Yeshua's love. Jew and Gentile, one Messiah, one Yeshua, one in the olive tree.
Okay. Okay, we're getting ready to have our guest speaker this morning. I know the last time he was here, he gave us a message on the doors, which I thought was, and I still remember that. So that's good when a message lingers that long. So it's been a while, so I still remember the doors because Rabbi had talked earlier about the keys, but he had the doors that the keys went in. So I thought it all fit together. So me and Joe talked about it, and he said that was just a good word from God that he brought. So Pastor David is from Blue Ridge Church in Elk Park, North Carolina. So they traveled a little bit, maybe less than an hour. I'm not sure how far. I've been over there, but I'm not sure how far it is. But it's over there in the Elk Park area, North Carolina. But he's here this morning, and he has a word for us. And just remember, we're going to take up an offering for him, or for them, because his wife is with him too this morning. So let's welcome Pastor David as he comes this morning to give us a word from God.
The Lord. Amen. How many are glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Well, I'm honored to be back this morning. When Rabbi Joe called and asked me if I was available, at the time I wasn't. I was scheduled to be at work today, but everything worked out. Amen. And so I just count it an honor and a privilege to be here with you at For Zion's Sake Ministry and our Yehuda congregation. I've been praying, I've been seeking the Lord. When Rabbi Joe asked me to come and minister to you, I had a sermon that I was going to bring that I had ministered at my church a few weeks ago. And God just began to deal with me. And I pray that God would just take this message, take this time to allow us to be ready to go through this day that we're in. And how many know we're in a peculiar day, amen? Hallelujah. Amen. We're getting ready to go through the day of the Lord. We're getting ready to go through Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, and leading up to the Feast of Tabernacles. But before I minister this morning, I know Rabbi Joe and Don are on their way back sometime today. I would like us just to stand and just stretch our arms out to Rabbi Joe this morning if we could. And let's just pray that this time in Florida, that God would get the glory and that God would strengthen Rabbi Joe and all these things that your congregation have coming up. Let's just all go to the Lord this morning. Father Yeshua, we come before you, Lord. We ask, God, that you would strengthen Rabbi Joe, God, Lord. We pray that his time in Florida, God, was a time of answers, Lord. We pray, we know that you, God, will get the victory of this, Lord. We pray and we ask, Lord, that you would be with them, God. Uphold them, God. Look after them, God. Lord, I pray that they have safe travels on the way, God, Lord. God, I pray that you would rise him up, God, Lord, in these last days, God. Give him strength, God, to do what only you can do through him, Lord. And we pray it and we ask it in Yeshua's name, God, we ask, Lord. And we will not settle for anything less than 100% complete healing over his body. In Yeshua's name, we thank you for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, last time I was here, I know it was a good message, and I'm not lifting myself up, but I know God was speaking, because we left here, and the enemy struck no less than 5 minutes from here as we were stopped at a stop sign, and I looked both ways 3 or 4 times. Nothing was coming that I could tell, so I eased on out, and here's a 3/4-ton truck. It slammed right into the side of our car, totaled our SUV. And I'm standing there, and I said, Lord, I know you're with us, amen. And my first thought was to look over at my wife and make sure she was okay. Because without her, there would be no ministry for me. I know God put us together. And I thank God for that. But we as a church and we as a congregation are in a place that we really need God. We need God to speak to us. We need God to help us. Amen. I know the church as a whole we're looking forward to, and I don't know about you, but I've been to Simchat Torah. I've danced at the wall with the rabbis. I've held the Torahs. I've seen the things. I've been to the Feast of Tabernacles 3 times in Israel. And I've been there, and I enjoy it the most. I love going to Israel during the feast. But how many would agree with me this morning that you want the Feast of Tabernacles? You want God to dwell with you, amen? How many want that? How many desire God to tabernacle inside of them this morning, amen? That's my desire. That's my prayer. Every day I wake up, I know that day's getting closer. It's getting closer and it's getting closer. But before we have that great celebration, amen? How many know it's a celebration? Amen? It's a wedding day, amen? Are you getting prepared for the wedding? Amen? I know the wedding's coming, but church, we are here this morning and we are going to have to go through a day. A day that many people don't want to go through. Amen? It's a day of affliction. That's what it's called. It's called the day, or Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement. And I believe this is the day we are in. And you say, it's only one day. Well, I believe days. God said the day to the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is but a day. Amen? And we need God now more than we ever have. I've seen the things that are going on. I've experienced things in my short time in the ministry. I've only been in the ministry for close to 10 years, a little bit over 10 years in my ministry. I was ordained in 07. I first ministered in 2007 during the Feast of Tabernacles, have you? Amen. And in my short time in the ministry, man, I've been through a lot. And it reminded me, because just the other day I was washing my face and my face broke out all over. And I was standing there and I looked like I'd been in a fight. And I went to the church Saturday night, and one of my co-people there, my helper, he looked at me and said, "You look like you've been in a fight." And I said, "Well, I'll tell you this, a physical fight is a lot easier than this spiritual fight that I've been facing." And I don't know about you this morning, but I tell you, I've been in a spiritual fight. Amen? I don't know about you this morning, but I've had to deal with things. I've had to go through things. Amen? I've had to face things that I never thought I would face. Amen? I can remember back in the world, when I was in the world, that I got in fights, I got in fist fights, I've been in fist fights, I've been in brawls. Most of them I won, some I lost. But this spiritual fight is something that only God can help me with. I remember when I had the call upon my life, and who knew that in 15 years or 14 years ago that God would seem fit to have me minister the gospel. A man that came from nowhere, a nobody as far as I was concerned, but God made me somebody. Amen? And I want to speak to you just a little bit about this day we're in, Rosh Hashanah, leading up to the Day of Atonement and going in to the Feast of Tabernacles. If you would, turn your Bibles, if you have them, to Joel chapter 2. And when you get there, say amen. Joel chapter 2. I want to read this whole down to verse 17, but I want to focus in on 12 through 17. But I want to start in verse 1, if we could all stand for the reading of the word. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there have not been ever the like, neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth the land, is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. Their appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the top of the mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All their faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter His voice before His army. And His camp is very great. For He is strong that executeth His word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye every, even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your heart, and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great kindness. And repent of Him for the evil. Who knoweth if He will return and repent and leave a blessing behind Him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine inheritance to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for His land and pity His people. Father, I thank You, Lord, for this word. And Father, I pray, Lord, that You would anoint this word, God. I pray that You take the coal up off the altar and anoint my lips, Lord. God, that You may move me out of the way, God, that Your word may be brought forth. God, that You will deal with us and help us, God. And let us know that even though this day seems very terrible, yet You are forever with us. You will never leave us or forsake us, God. But Lord, You will go with us all the way, even into the end. In Yeshua's name, amen. You may be seated. We see a lot of things in this chapter. And though we want to skip to Joel chapter 3 and we want to see the end of the situation, we want to skip to Zechariah 14 where God said that He would fight like days of old, but we skip through the parts where it says Jerusalem shall be taken in it. We skip through the parts of where it tells us that this is a time of darkness and of gloominess. We skip through the parts where it tells us that we will Even in certain scriptures, it talks about that people will hide themselves in the caves, and they will hide themselves. And we skip the parts of the Bible that tell us, and Yeshua even tells us, that men's hearts will fail them for fear. Amen. And we see this going on all through this age that we're in, this age of everything's okay and we love you and come as you are, and yes, we want you to come, and yes, we want you to take part of God's word, and yes, we want you to feel God's presence. We want you to know that God is a loving God, but also God is a God of severity. He's a God of judgment. He's a God that will let us do what we want, but He doesn't desire, amen, to take us through this day alone. His desire is not for us to just be alone and to feel forsaken. Amen. I don't know about you, but these days we're in, sometimes I feel like I'm all alone sometimes. Amen. I feel like there's nobody to help me out. I feel that what's coming, it's impossible to go through. It's impossible to really know that God is with me, but every time I feel alone, church. Every time I feel like I can't go on, there's a little voice in my head that says, I'm still with you. Amen. There's a little voice in my head that tells me that God wants me to understand. I love the scriptures, and Peter was a man that often stuck his foot in his mouth. Amen. He opened it when he should have shut it, and he shut it when he should have opened it. Man, we see Peter being a revelation coming to Peter, and he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, Peter, but God did. But just a few verses later, we see Jesus, we see Yeshua telling Peter to get behind me, Satan. We see Peter there at Passover, and Yeshua there, and they're about to wash his feet, and Peter looks at Yeshua and he tells him, I shall never wash your feet. And Yeshua looks at him and he says, you don't know now what I'm doing, but you will. And I've held on to that scripture for many years now, that I don't know what God is doing. God doesn't deal with me as a prophet. I'm not here today to lay out a timetable for you and tell you got a certain amount of time. I do believe God has given us a grace period. But you better believe that when this grace period is over, we're going to have to know where we stand with God. We're going to have to know for sure that God is with us. We're going to have to know for sure that He will walk with us through the fire. We often forget that, don't we? We often forget that the three Hebrew children had to go in the fire, but God was with them. We forget that the three Hebrew children that Daniel had to go into the lion's den, but yet God was with him. How many know that we as American people better pray for this country like never before? I'm not here to talk about politics today, but I'm here to tell you this. There are people that want to see this country fall off, because they know that if America falls off, it's the greatest ally with Israel. You don't think for a minute that Israel isn't in the big picture to these people. They know if they can take down America, that Israel will follow. But how many know that not only is the God of Israel, He's also the God that made us who we are today. I want to focus in on 15 things. It amazed me when I really sat down and read these scriptures from verse 11 to verse 17. When I sat down, and I sat down last night, and I don't remember when I sat down, but I remember I printed this off about 10:45 last night. And I was seeking God about what to come here and what to minister. And God started to deal with me in Joel chapter 2. And as I sat down and began to write and began to type these down, it amazed me when there was 15 of them. I'm not going to hit every point to you. And some of you can thank God for that. Amen. But I do want to tell you about certain ones of these. In verse 11, we see, and God asks a question, and it says, "The Lord shall utter His voice before His army, for His camp is very great, for He is strong that executeth His word. Listen to this, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible." And He asks a question, "Who can abide it?" I tell you, this question, this is the question I often ask God. And God answers here in number one. If you want to write these down, that's fine. But number one, it says to turn to Me with all your heart. How many know that the heart is deceitful? How many know that the Bible says that we don't even know the secrets of the heart? Yet all the time we hear this phrase, I've heard it all the time, God knows my heart. Yes, God does know your heart, and He knows it better than you. So what are we to do as people of God? We have to turn our heart, amen. Because let me tell you something about the heart. The heart will believe what it sees. And the heart conveys it to the mind. Amen. So we need to turn our... There are two places that the name of God is written. One is in Jerusalem. There are three valleys that come together and form the Hebrew letter Shin. And I don't know how many know this, but the word they use for the Lord, we say Adonai, they say Hashem, which basically means the name. They believe that the name of God is so holy that they can't even say the name of God. But there's two places, and one is right there in Jerusalem. And it forms the Hebrew letter Shin, meaning God has stamped His name in Jerusalem. But there's one other place that this letter is imprinted, and that's in every human heart. You pull up the picture, and there are three main vessels that form the Shin in your heart, meaning God has stamped His very name even in the hearts of an atheist, even in the hearts of disbelievers, even in Hitler's heart. Yet Hitler had the name of God stamped in his heart. You know, we can circumcise our heart, or we can let our heart still be stony this morning. We can turn our heart all to God. This was the great commandment. God said, this is the first and great commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And He said, the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Yet we point to the second one, and many times we say we want the second one. But I'm here to tell you this morning, if we can't do one, there ain't no way I can love you like God does. There ain't no way I can love you, amen, like myself, if I don't even love myself. We need to turn our hearts to God like never before. We need to turn our hearts. We need to meditate, amen. I don't know how many of you do it, but we need to wake up and we need to set ourselves to talk to God. We need to go in the middle of the day, amen. I remember, amen, some of the best times with God, some of the best times with Yeshua is at my job. In the milk cooler, filling the milk, listening to worship songs. And I know they don't know what to think because most of the time it's in Hebrew. So I'm just stocking the milk and I'm just saying Shema Israel. I'm saying all these great Hebrew songs. And I know they don't know what to think of me. But we need to turn to God with all our heart. I remember my first time to Israel, and I bring this up because today would have made 10 years ago that I made my first trip to Israel, was in 2009. God made it possible for me to go. My first time I came and went to Israel. And a lot of people that go to Israel don't really have the eyes of God when they go, and they lose the vision. But I remember the first time when I went to Israel, I seen it. And I was standing in the Dan. I was staying there at the Dan on Mount Scopus in Israel. And I went out to see the sights. And I was looking, and you could see there on the Temple Mount, and you could see this abomination that's there called the Golden Dome. Amen. It's an abomination. And you say what you want to, but I believe with all my heart, my wife's grandfather believed this to the day he died. And he said that God would take one of these missiles, and you can mark it down, it's coming. And he said, God will guide that missile right there. And that abomination will be no longer. Church, are you ready for that? I believe it with all my heart. But while I was there, I was standing and I was looking at the Temple Mount. And I remember looking at it, and I remember God. And I begin just to look around, and I say, all these great places, the Garden Tomb, amen, Ben Yehuda Street, how many have ever been there, amen, it's a lovely place, amen. I remember going and passing by the Sea of Galilee, amen. I remember going through all these things, and as I was there, amen, and I begin to look at the center of Israel, God spoke to me and said, you know, this is like the body of Christ. He said, this is like the body of Messiah. He said, I can have the whole body, but if I don't have the heart, what good does it do? And I'm going to tell you something this morning. God can have your whole attention. You can read the very words that are in this book. You can apply these words to your life, but if they're not in your heart, David said, hide your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. There may be a day where they come to take this book away from you. Amen. And when they take it, amen, I'm not saying I'm not going to put up a fight. Amen. I may die with this Bible in my hand. Amen. But I promise you one thing. If I don't have this, I have the Scripture hidden in my heart. Amen. I can pull Scripture. I may not be able to tell you where it is. I don't know how people do that. God didn't give me a memory like that. Amen. My memory, I believe every time I learn something new, I forget something I already knew. Amen. But God wants us to get our heart, set our heart toward Him. Turn your heart. This is the whole thing about Rosh Hashanah. It's the days of repentance. It's to turn your heart. Take these 10 days and turn your heart to God. Because there's a day coming. Yes, we don't have to wait. If you waited till Rosh Hashanah, shame on you. Well, I don't like that kind of ministering. Well, I guess you'll have to tell Jobel. But shame on you if you've waited till now to get it straight with God. We have every day we wake up in order to set our steps right before God. We have every day that we could learn from God, but yet we wait and we wait and we wait, but there is a day coming. But you can start a new leaf this morning. You don't have to wait. You heard Brother Anthony. I love it. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't have to wait till Monday morning. You don't have to wait till 10 days from now when Yom Kippur comes. You don't have to wait. You can turn right now this morning to God. You can set your heart on the things of God. And even your heart may deceive you, but yet God is in control. He says, turn with me with all your heart. He gives us some things here. He tells us that we should fast. But a lot of translations don't even have the word fasting in them. Amen. They take it out. They take out one of the essential things that God Himself told us. When He was talking about the faith of the mustard seed, He tells us in Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, He said, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. But yet the people of God are against fasting. Here's fasting to some people. And amen, glory to God, if that's the way God tells you. I know some people can't go without food. Maybe your sugar drops. Maybe you need sugar. Maybe your sugar's too high. You need to take a break from the Debbie cakes this morning. But some people say, well, I won't watch this channel, and that's my fasting. But church, we need a generation that fasts the way that God says to fast. Amen. Amen. When I fast with water. And sometimes I don't even drink water because I want to afflict myself. I want that type of faith, amen, that it talks about in the Bible. I want that type of power that the Bible talks about. And this power only comes by prayer. We all pray, but when's the last time you fasted for more than a day? When's the last time you fasted for a week? When's the last time you fasted for 40 days? I want to be able to do that. He tells us to weep, to cry. And I know the Bible talks and it says that God will wipe away all the tears from our eyes. How many look forward to it? I know it tells us in Psalms chapter 30 verse 5 that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. And we all say amen to that. Amen. Amen. How many know that we look for the morning? Amen. We want this joy. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. It's the only thing that keeps me going is God's joy. Without God's joy, you got the world's depression. These are the two, the world seems after joyous. Amen. I know a lot of people that put on fake smiles and put on fake joy and then go out and talk about hurting themselves and committing suicide. I've never seen a time like this before that even pastors committing suicide. Leaders and shepherds, I feel for these sheep. We should be weeping before God, amen, for this thing. I look at the world and I look at all the things that's going on, but yet our teardrops are dry this morning because we don't want to weep, amen. But I tell you this morning, amen, God holds every tear you've cried in the palm of His hand, amen. He knows it's hard. He knows it's rough. He said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I've overcome it. I look for that morning. I want that joy. But I promise you this, there will be weeping. The very thing that the Day of Atonement talks about is to afflict your soul. I believe it means to physically fast and be spiritually affected by the fast. To afflict your soul. He tells us for to lament and mourn. Not only weep and cry. Amen. I see a good movie, I'll cry. Amen. I went and watched this movie, Overcomer. It's a very good movie if you've never seen it. It has a very good positive message in it. And there's not many movies that have that these days. But during that movie, I found myself crying. Amen. Don't make fun of me. Some of you in here this morning cried when you watched Bambi. Some of you cried when you watched The Lion King. But God tells us that we're not only need to weep, but we need to mourn. Have you ever been there? I'm not talking about just crying. I'm talking about that longing within inside, something that's deep within. Amen. Psalms 130 says, He, out of the depths I've cried unto You, O Lord. He tells us that out of His very existence, something within Him, amen, not only weep, but when I see the world, I mourn for it. Yeshua said, He would mourn. He mourned for His people. He didn't just cry over Jerusalem. He mourned over Jerusalem. He's seen into the end use of time. I believe Yeshua seen. He'd seen what was going to happen to the very people He came to love. The very place. Amen. Yeshua didn't come to New York. He didn't come to the United States. But Yeshua showed up in the very land He gave His people. And He never once left it. The biblical land. He never once left it. They're fighting over a little bit of sliver of land right now. But I promise you there'll be 1,500 square miles of the land of Israel. It's all God's. It's coming. But we should mourn when we see sinners out in the street. Yes, we should have compassion. And I love them. And I want them. I want them to come to church. But here's the thing. I want them to change. This is the thing that the world doesn't want. They don't want change. They don't want to be renewed. Amen. They don't want to be conformed. Amen. The renewing of our mind. Amen. They don't want it. They want to just come and feel some type of emotion. Amen. Amen. And crying is an emotion, but when you're mourning, amen, it's your soul reaching out to God. It's telling Him, I want You to do something about this, Lord. I love them. I want them to come to church. I want them to be in the synagogue. I want them to hear Your words. I want them to know who You are. But I want them to change, glory to God. I stand up here today and yes, I got far to go. I believe You, Brother Anthony. It feels like every day I stumble somewhere. I come up short somewhere. Amen. But I'm not who I was. Amen. 15 years ago. I don't drink anymore. I don't listen to all kind of music anymore. I don't look at things, amen, that I looked at back then. I don't work at places. I don't consider myself the same. Something changed within me. And if we don't change this morning, if we don't really get it right with God, I mourn because even the very elect can be deceived. Amen. I see it every day. People walking away from their calling because they don't agree with what God is doing. But say it's God. Oh, it's God. Well, my friend, I hate to tell you, if God told you to be here at For Zion's Sake Ministry and you're not doing God's will. Well, amen, Walt. All we have is hoppities. Hop from one place to the next. It's like a drug. Marijuana does it, only does it for a while and then they want something harder. Alcohol only does it for a while and it makes you all depressed. And then you want something to lift you up, so you begin something else and something else and something else. Oh, well, it ain't like the 90s. It ain't like crack. Well, in my part of the area, it's meth. I don't know what it is here in Bristol, but in my part of the area, it's meth. It's all kind of things and these people putting chemicals in their body and selling everything they got to supply this need. We should be mourning like never before. When we see a little child almost ready to celebrate Shabbat in her house, and in comes a terrorist and murders and massacres her blood all over her room just because she's Jewish, we should be mourning. When people just want to spread awareness about God and the things of the Bible and about just building communities in Judea and Samaria, and these terrorists come and stab them and run them over and all these things, but yet we can't mourn. The old prophets and the old people, they're passing off the scene. Billy Graham gone. All these people gone. The ones that had a relationship with God, they're gone. And the pillars of the church are getting older. And they're falling off the scene. And this young generation, my God, they need a move of God like never before. They're lost in their way and they think they all got it figured out. They go to a concert and think it's a sermon. I hate to tell you, I love the songs. The songs get your mind on God, but it's the Word that transforms. We should be mourning. And you say, I don't want to mourn. I've mourned enough. It feels like within a 5-year period, my wife's family had to deal with close to 8 deaths. Her grandfather, her uncle, her aunt, her other aunt, her cousin. Her grandfather's the one that started the work where I'm at. And I look at all the pillars leaving. And every time I show up to a place that once was full, to a place where you had to squeeze in to fit into the pews, but now they lay empty. We should be mourning. Yeshua tells us that if we mourn, we'll be comforted. That's the assurance this morning, is that you don't cry and mourn for nothing, but you shall be comforted. He tells us to rend our heart and not our garments. This tie doesn't make me holy. This shirt doesn't make me holy. Even this prayer life doesn't make me holy. You know, this is nothing but a cloth. But it's what I put into here. Oh, come on. It's my prayer life. That's what the woman touched. What's the prayer life of Yeshua? She touched the hem. She touched these little tzitzits that remind the Jewish people when they run their hand, it reminds them of the law. And she touched this. It wasn't this, it was what Jesus poured into this. But this doesn't make me holy. Your clothes don't make you holy. It's your heart. He says to rend, tear. That's what this word rend means. To tear your heart. You say, wow, I don't want that. Let me tell you something this morning. If you break your heart, God can remake it. He tells us time and time and time again that the Lord is nigh unto them that are a broken heart. You ever been brokenhearted? I'm not talking about the crush you had in high school. Amen. I had a woman come up to me the other day and she was saying her and her man that she was with is broke up now and all these different things. And she said depression has entered in. And she's thinking these thoughts and these bad thoughts. And I told her this. I said, I'm not trying to preach to you. And she said, well, preach to me. I said, well, I'm not trying to. I said, but I'll tell you this much. I said, get a relationship with God. I said, make Him number one. And if you do that, God will take care of the rest. I went looking. And I remember 14 years ago in March, amen, when I walked in drunk. And saw this beautiful thing over here that I call my wife. And I remember giving her my number. I did things strange. Don't look at me. And I said, call me if you want to. And she called me a few days later. She said, the only way I'll go on a date with you is if you go to church with me. And that started it. I thought I went to church to get on a date. Oh, I had a date, all right, but it was a date with the Lord. And the people all the way come up to me and they said, I want this guy to change. Like, and he went through some of the things you did. What does he have to do? And I look at him and I say, well, he has to be willing to change, to turn. You know that word turn? Unto the Lord means to return, to go back. Amen? This is what God had against Israel. He said they forgot their first love. But return. Amen? Every time, look at it in your Bibles, time after time, God would plead with His people, return to me. Come back. Amen. Come back, amen. There's never, you can never go too far. The Bible says you can make your bed in hell, but He's still with you. He doesn't want you to be there. He doesn't want you to go through this, but He's still with you. He's still for you. He's not against you. Amen. And the Bible says, if God be for me, then who can be against me? But we have to return to the Lord. We have to make a turnaround, meaning if you're going this way this morning, you can turn back. Amen. God's never left. He's right where you left Him. Amen. All it takes is 1 second and you don't feel God's presence, but yet you say you're too far, but you can always turn back. Crawl if you got to. Do whatever it takes to get back where God is. And then tell Him, I won't do that again. I promise you, I've seen the darkest of dark in my day. I've done some terrible things. I've been as far away from God as that you can be, I believe. Amen. But I always turn back and return to my Maker. He tells us to turn unto the Lord. He tells us to blow the trumpets or the shofar. Amen? He tells us to blow it. This whole day. It's a whole day. You know Rosh Hashanah is not even in the Bible. But that day is, I don't know if I can say it correctly, Yom Terah. And it basically means day of blowing trumpets. Amen. A whole day of blowing this shofar. A whole day. And you know the trumpet, what it represents is a voice of God being sounded out. Amen. When Gideon walked 7 times around the wall of Jericho, God instructed them to blow the trumpet. Every time the trumpet is blown, it's a sounding forth, meaning listen. That's what it means. Amen. Listen. There's something coming. There's something. Amen. Prepare yourself. Wake up. Amen. This is the call of the shofar, is wake up. Amen. If you're sleeping, wake up. Blow the trumpet. God dealt with me. And amen. And I've been right there. Amen. I've stood on the top of the Mount of Olives. Amen. And I blew the trumpet. Amen. And man, it makes the Muslims madder. Then they can all get out and then we got to walk right through them. Amen. But man, it makes them mad. I remember I was looking on the Temple Mount. There wasn't a soul there, Anthony. I began to blow that trumpet. Man, you thought Yeshua would just return. But I promise you this, this next trumpet blow, God tells us that Yeshua will be the same place He left from. He said He's coming back. This same Yeshua that you see going is coming back in like manner that you see. And they begin to gaze up in heaven. And they said, don't. Don't look up into heaven. Because He's coming back to where you see Him go. You know where He was? The Mount of Olives. They thought they were slick. because they know no Jewish person will defile themselves and walk over a grave. And they thought they would slick the whole Mount of Olives, nothing but graves. Well, I hate to tell them, when Yeshua returns, there ain't going to be nobody in there. Amen. Amen. They're going to rise. There's going to be a resurrection, church. Amen. I hate to tell you this, but there will be a resurrection. Those that have gone will be resurrected. It happened once, it's going to happen again. You can mark it down. And this whole day is blowing the trumpets. Sound the alarm. Sound the alarm. Sound the alarm. Don't press snooze. Amen. I got 3 alarm clocks at my house. You know why? Because I love to hit snooze. I know one of them's going to wake me up. The only alarm clock I've ever had that was any good is God. I'll be dead asleep, just snoring away. I don't think I snore. My wife tells me I do. And I'll just wake up 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. And I know it's God. He's sounding the alarm. He's blowing the trumpet. Sound the alarm. This whole day is telling us to get ready. Be on the lookout. Something's coming. He tells us, number 8, to sanctify a fast. This word sanctify means prepare or dedicate a fast. So not just plan on it, but dedicate a fast. Say you're going to do it. You know you'll never do nothing unless you do it. Amen. You can tell yourself a million times, you know what? I'm going to go do that. But if you don't go do it, it will never get done. Amen. I'm going to clean my house. But if you don't, guess what? Your house is going to be dirty. I'm going to turn my life over to God. Well, there ain't no time like present. Amen. Today, not tomorrow, not yesterday, not 3 weeks from now, not 2 years from now, not when you hear the shofar blast, it's too late, church. But sanctify, dedicate, amen, make time for God. 9 is called a solemn assembly. I love this word solemn. It means a dignified or serious. Amen. A serious assembly. No more games. That's what it's saying. Don't just play. Amen. You only get one life. And there was this thing I seen that somebody was saying, and they said they held out this long rope. And on this long rope, it could have reached from this wall to this wall. And he said, on this long rope, he said, there was a little piece of red. And he said, this is your life. He said, this is your life in the world. And I'm not saying that to say, man, this guy's just browbeating me all. He's nailing my feet to the ground. Well, that's just how I am. I nail my own feet to the ground a lot of times. But we need a serious assembly of people, not just playing. Not just going for some type of emotion. I was listening to something the other day, and this guy was talking, and he said, the problem is, he said, is in these, and I don't have nothing against big churches, amen, but if there's a thousand people, and some say, well, if there's only one, my God, if you got 1,000 people, you should have more than one person that's really in a relationship with Christ. I know the Bible says there's only a remnant. Small. Like we are this morning, amen. People look at numbers and they say, well, we got to have all this numbers. It took only 12 disciples to change the world. And many of them, amen, died martyrdom deaths, all of them, except John. We need a serious assembly. Not just coming together because it's time to start the service. But we need a serious people that say we have a goal. Amen. Oh yeah. I don't have an agenda. The only agenda I have is to get as many people ready for this day that's coming. Get closer to God. We need. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:25 to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You know this. As the manner of some is, but exhorting. This word exhorting means to encourage or comfort. Amen. Encourage, comfort, not beat down, but to come. Amen? Are you telling people to come? Are you saying come? Come as you are, yes, but God will change you. We need a serious assembly. He says to encourage or comfort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're not just naturally coming through the Day of Atonement, but I believe we're spiritually coming to that day. It says to gather the people. Amen. Sanctify the congregation. Remember, sanctify means what? Prepare or dedicate. Amen. Prepare the congregation. Amen. Prepare them for what? This day that's coming. Assemble the elders. He tells us to gather the children. Even the young ones. Even the very small. Amen. Gather. Amen. What feast is it that you gather? What feast is it that you assemble? What feast is it that you come together? There's only one feast I know. It's called the Feast of Ingathering, or the Feast of Tabernacles. It says, let the bridegroom go forth from his chambers and the bride out of her closet or her chamber. God is getting ready to come out. And He said He's looking for a bride adorned or prepared. Come on. I'm looking for a bride adorned for her husband. 15. It says, let the priest and the ministers of the Lord. And we often just throw it off on the ministers and the preachers and the evangelists and the people that come up and say out of this word, but I'm going to tell you something this morning. We're all ministers. God calls us all priests. Whether you're a woman, whether you're a man, boy, child, whatever you are, you're a minister. He calls us to weep between the porch and the altar. This place, between that door and this altar. I know He was talking about the temple and the porch of Solomon and there in Jerusalem. But I believe He's also talking about this space right here. Letting the priests come and to weep. Micah says, and He shall judge many among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears unto pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. How many look forward to that day? That you learn war, not anymore. I don't want a war. To be honest, there's often times where I feel that my knees are so weak that I can't even get down on them anymore. But church, we're at war. Before we can turn our swords into pruning hooks and plowshares And before we can turn our weapons to things that will naturally supply our need, before we can do all these things, we are at a spiritual war. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of spiritual wickedness in high places, church. We are at war. And the problem is that many years ago when the church was coming up and congregations all over the world were coming up, this place called the altar was filled with people weeping before God, asking God to spare their family, spare their wife, spare their husband, spare their kids. My God, don't just look out for you, church. There's a generation coming up that needs our prayers. They need us weeping before them. Amen. If you throw something out because you don't care, you're not going to be here. Amen. You're leaving something for your children and their children's children. I don't know how long we got. I'm not here to tell you we got a week or 2 days or 10 years. I don't know God's plan, but I know this, that day's coming. And if you're not ready this morning, if you're still wondering if you got it, if you really have God, let me tell you something God revealed to me about this. Why is it 15? I asked God that question. I didn't even know it. I just began to write it down. And when I looked at it, I looked over at my wife and I called her over. And I said, look at this, there's 15. I said, you know what that means? She said, no, not really. I said, well, the Bible tells us in Leviticus 23 that Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the seventh month. And then he tells us 10 days after, Rosh Hashanah is a day called the Day of Atonement. And then 5 days after that, it tells us on the 15th day of the seventh month that there's a feast called the Feast of Tabernacles. And I knew and I understood then why it was 15. I've never seen it before. Maybe you have. Because it's a step process. Amen. Come on. I'm almost done. It's a step process. We want to skip steps. Amen. Come on. A lot of the church, I'm not calling any names. Amen. But they love Passover. Whole denominations built around Passover. Whole denominations built around Shavuot and Pentecost. Amen. Whole denominations built around all these things. Amen. And I'm not worried about denominations. I don't have nothing against them. I just want them to understand. Amen. You're not just going to skip from Passover to Tabernacles. It's not going to happen. Church, we're not just going to skip over the hard parts and then all of a sudden, glory to God, we're at the Feast of Tabernacles. We're ready for the honeymoon. Amen? But you have to be ready for the day. Every time you come, maybe your whole family's saved. And if we could get a song ready. The Bible says that creation is groaning and travailing. Amen. All creation. Some of you are ready. I see it in your face. We all desire tabernacles. We all desire this honeymoon, this marriage. But God said that He's going to bid those to the marriage first. He's going to call them. He's going to ask them, turn to me. If you got something, could you play it real slowly this morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Those that are watching live stream, those that are here, I don't know where you're at this morning, but this day is approaching. Maybe your whole family's saved. Maybe your kids are saved. Maybe you have all the finances you could ever need. Maybe you have a good job. Maybe you think you're ready. Maybe you know you're ready. But this day is approaching. Not just naturally, but spiritually. We have to prepare ourselves for this day. Every time you come in, I know there's dedicated times to be healed and dedicated times to be saved. Dedicated times to have Passover. Dedicated times to get the Holy Spirit. Dedicated times to come together and blow the trumpet. All these dedicated times, but yet every day is a day that we could turn our heart and turn our life and return to God, repent. You know, that word's not even used a lot in congregations all across America. That word's become a nasty word. Repentance has become a forgotten word. But if it wasn't for people that really repented, I mean really repented, like David. David was called a man after God's own heart, but yet David did something so bad. I know it hurt the heart of God when David committed this sin. But David did something. He repented. You can read it in Psalms 51. And he tells us the same thing. He says, "You won't refuse a broken heart, Lord. My heart's broken. I've seen people walk away from the very calling that God has placed on their life. Things I never thought I would see." And I ask God all the time, who else? I feel like some of the greatest things is we come together and we partake of the blood. We partake of His flesh. And He tells us and He commands us, every time we do this in remembrance of Me. And we can find that in John. He tells us in John chapter 6, He says, "My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." Now, He's not talking about going out here and eating flesh and drinking blood. It's not what He's talking about. He's talking about eating that Word. He's talking about drinking His Spirit. And yet, while we do all these things, we forget even the simplest of things. It's to come up to this altar and weep. Not just weep, but ask God to spare His people. And you say, who are His people? The Bible says this, "If My people, who are called by My name, will humble themselves, afflict themselves, seek My face, and turn from their wicked ways." I love this. He says, "Then, only then, will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." Church, congregation, this morning, I don't know where you're at, but I want to give you a few moments. Because it's 15, it's amazing. Let the priests and the ministers weep between the porch and the altar. We're at war. Have you done your part? Have you prayed? Have you fasted? Have you mourned? Have you rent your heart? Have you turned to the Lord? Have you blown the trumpet? Have you sanctified a fast? Have you gathered the people? Have you sanctified the congregation? Have you wept right here at this altar? We save it for people that's not saved, but this altar's open this morning. I want to give you just a few minutes. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Could we all stand in just reverence of God? Oh, I weep. I see the enemy is cunning. The enemy knows his time is short, Lord. This day is not like any other day, but this day is to get us ready for the greatest move of God that there ever has been on this earth. You teach us that eye has not seen and ear has not heard. It's not even entered into our hearts of man the things that you have prepared for us. God, I know this day is coming. Though they're weeping, though we mourn, though we cry out to you and we ask you to spare our families this morning, spare our sons and our daughters, spare those, God, that are out in this world, Lord, spare those, God, that need you more than everything, God. And God, I ask you this morning, I come before you, Lord, this morning, God, and I ask, Lord, God, that you, God, would do what only you could do. Lord, that you prepare us for this Rosh Hashanah. This is the head of the year. We could find ourselves with our names being took out, or we could find ourselves with our names being sealed in the book of life. God, that's my desire. There's only one thing. In the end, that really matters. On that day, when you stand before God, He's going to say one of two things to you. Enter in, thy good and faithful servant, or depart. My God, that's a reason to mourn if there ever is. I don't want to hear those words. Call your people back. Oh Lord, spare your people this morning. Hide them under the shadow of your wings. Yeshua, we love. Thank you, Lord. Serious times. Desperate times. Call for desperate measures. Don't walk away. But turn to Him. I don't have the answers, but I know who does. I don't hold your tomorrow, but I know who does. I don't know. And man, if you can't feel that sweet presence of God, you need to be at this altar this morning, because I feel Him all over me. I wish I could tell you that the road is going to be filled with paved, no blocks. I wish I could tell you that things are going to be all glory, glory, and no suffering. But church, there's only one thing I want to leave you with this morning. It's only a day of atonement, but it's a lifetime of peace. Whew. It's only a day of affliction, but it's an everlasting life with Yeshua this morning. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, Vaveka Adonai Verishmaecha Yair Adonai Panavelecha Vekoneka Yisa Adonai Panavelecha Viasim Laka Shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give you his peace, make you complete in Yeshua's name. And everyone said, amen. Give the Lord a hand this morning. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Do you have any more announcements you need? Amen. Let's just all just look to the Lord in dismissal, Father.